And reading verses 1, 2, and 3 together, beginning at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike Paul is the author. This is written about 59 A.D., and we've just finished last week. Romans was written about 60 A.D., so this was really before the book of Romans was written, evidently. Starts out with the author's name, Paul. This first, next word, called. What do we understand by that in Paul's case? Any hands on that one? Yes, Pastor.
God gone on the road to Damascus. God changed his life completely. Mm-hmm. And God told him he wanted him to be an apostle. He was chosen mm-hmm. by God to be an apostle.
And in that first verse, who was it that called him?
Through the will of God.
Through the will of God. The will of God called to be an apostle through the will of God. And it was the Lord that spoke to him. And did he accept the call?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He accepted the call and he became one of Christ's followers. The Lord Jesus Christ was a saved, genuine Christian after that experience. And it's through the will of God, God's will. Why do you suppose God needed another apostle? Yes, Tammy.
Well, he didn't have any apostles to the Gentiles yet.
Okay. And why else do they have Pastor Dan?
Although he did resist for a while.
Oh, he did.
He resisted for a long time, but ultimately he surrendered.
All right. But after the call in Acts chapter 9, did he resist then or just when he was stoning Stephen?
He says in Acts 9, doesn't it say that it's hard for thee to kick against the bricks?
Yes, it's hard for thee. In other words, the Lord chastised him for persecuting the believers, the Christians. Why is thou taking me?
But as soon as the Lord called him, he responded, Lord, what will they have me to do?
So it was an actual good response. And by the will of God, and Sosthenes are with us. God's will. But again, I ask the question, why else do you think that he wanted Paul especially, called him especially through God's will? Why? What was the importance of Pastor Dan?
Replaced Judas.
He replaced Judas. Now, does everyone believe that Paul was the one that replaced Judas? Does everyone believe that? What do some of them teach, which we don't agree with? What do they teach? Yeah, Pastor Bill.
Some people teach that Matthias was chosen, since he was chosen by the apostles.
Yes.
Themselves, but he was not chosen by Jesus Christ.
Not Jesus Christ.
Now, here Paul tells us that he was chosen by mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That settles it.
So that settles it. Did we ever have anybody come into our church that believed that Matthias was the
yes,
one?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Unfortunately, he's no longer with us.
Yes. But did we agree with him or disagree?
Oh, no, we disagreed.
Disagreed, all right. So he had to take the place of this Judas Iscariot. What was true of Judas? How would you describe him, Tammy?
A traitor.
He's a traitor, absolutely. But what he was a traitor, and in addition to being a traitor, what kind of a traitor was he? Bill.
He was a non-believer.
Non-believer. All right. What else? What sort of a person was he? First of all, why do you think the Lord Jesus chose Judas Iscariot?
Any
questions? Yes, Tammy?
Heaven and I chose thee and
12
and 12 and one of you, I think, is a
traitor? Traitor or devil or.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I don't remember.
That's right. And again, what was the nature of Judas? He was a traitor, yes, but what was another word for him? Yes, Tammy?
Well, he was the one that held him the money bag.
Money bag, that's true. And what else about him?
He was a schemer.
The schemer. Did the other apostles ever really understand what he was? So what kind of person makes himself so that other people can't understand? What's it, Pastor Dan?
John 6:70,
yeah.
Came and was saying, Jesus answered them, had not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil.
Devil, okay. So what kind of a person that begins to say?
Are you talking about a hypocrite?
Well, hypocrite, that's right. What else? to be able to fool 11 others. Was the Lord Jesus ever fooled about Judas?
No.
One of you is of having a chosen 12.
Yes. Is it possible that Judas just didn't understand?
Well,
and he never understood that he was God. He never understood
that's
that
right.
He was the Messiah.
That's
he,
right.
He was looking for a king, and when it wasn't good, when the Lord Jesus wasn't going to be king, then mm-hmm. he betrayed him.
What kind of a person, a traitor like Judas was, that would be able to convince the other 11 that he wasn't one of them? What kind of person do you call that? He's a traitor, but what sort of person would get away with that?
Not intelligent.
Very clever. Very a clever deceiver. He was a showman. He put on, I'm just like, what do you see? What do you call those people? Yes, Dan.
Well, the verse, so one of you is a devil?
Yes.
It's like what do they call it? It's a blight? Help me out. It just escaped me now.
Uh-huh.
What do they call the devil? They call him
an angel of light.
Angel, so yeah. It's like an angel of light.
Yes.
Of sort.
He's a master deceiver. Bill.
Judas was deceived. He had the best.
Did
possible.
He deceive others?
He tried to.
Yes, he deceived many.
He fooled them into thinking that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He never fooled Jesus.
Right.
Jesus was the best possible teacher anyone could ever possibly have.
Yes.
And if Judas had it in his heart that he was concerned about the truth mm-hmm. and he really wanted to know, he would have asked Jesus the questions that that were necessary, and Jesus could have saved him.
Right.
But he chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
He was guided by his own lusts, his own desires, mm-hmm. and he was influenced by the devil.
Right. Are there any Judas types like Judas in our Bible-believing fundamental churches?
Yes, we had one here a few weeks ago.
Yes. So it's interesting to see. Why do you think the Lord Jesus chose 11 good ones and one bad one? What's another possibility? Yes, Bill?
He knew that Judas would sell him out.
All right.
And turn him over to the authorities.
All right.
For, to be murdered.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably other reasons that I don't understand above that, but that's one of the most obvious things mm-hmm. to me, anyway.
Tammy, and Pastor Dan.
He wanted us to be on guard against false Christians.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Dan?
Judas had the agency of will to do right or wrong, and he chose to do the wrong.
Mm-hmm. But as Tammy said, I think it's a warning to Christians today. Big churches, they all seem to be all wanted to save the poor again. Many of them are Judases. They put on. They're actors. Good actors. Deceivers. Yes, Tammy?
It's like in Jude, men crept in unawares.
Yes.
In that case, they were probably referring more to people who become leaders, but even as a leader, somebody could be an unsaved person.
Mm-hmm. And what did the Lord Jesus say about what would happen in the last days in the book of Timothy?
They should be lovers of themselves.
Lovers of their own selves, and what else? Two things.
Deceiving
and
being
deceived. So that's what Judas was. He's a deceiver. He was probably being deceived to it the last time. So we got all these kinds of fake people, fake Christians. They call themselves Christians, but they're the devil's like the Lord Jesus said of Judas. Child of the children of the devil. But they got wonderful actions. They smile, they give all the impression, but I think he wants us to be very careful on discerning those that are right and those that are wrong. All right, those that are saved, those that are lost. So to the will of God, he called special apostle to take the place of Judas Iscariot, the deceiver. And Sosthenes, our brother, he was perhaps one of the people in the church at Corinth. And so he's called to be, then in verse number 2, who is he writing this to?
Church of God,
which is yes, Tammy?
She just said.
She didn't have a hat, so I didn't.
The Church of God,
headquarters. Corinth is right here. It's in Greece, southern Greece. You remember, last time we were studying the book of Rome, way over Romans, over here. So he wrote here. Now, Corinth was first and then Rome was second, but that's where he was writing, Corinth, and Macedonia is up here, and Greece is down here, southern Greece. And Church of God. Oh, excuse me, Tammy.
What, after which missionary journey was that then? The first?
Well, let me see. Close of Paul's 3 years of residence at Ephesus.
I don't have my map of the journey. What's the question?
What journey was this, first, second, or third? Well, I know that the journeys are here on this map.
After the second.
Start here. Over here like this.
After the first.
Here's one right here. See that one there? See, I don't know if that's first, second, or third. See, like this. It goes like this.
That's the first?
Maybe.
No, that's the second. The first we were just studying, we were talking about, it seemed like it went to Cyprus, and then to Pisidia, Pamphylia, and then it came back to Cyprus, and then back to Antioch of Syria. So we were the first,
Maybe, what do you think, the second?
I think it was the first.
I think it was the first?
Between the first and second.
Between the first and second, all right.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. I'm not sure if that's...
Although he had, on the first missionary journey, he didn't go to Corinth.
Okay, so it's got to be...
No,
you're right.
Did he establish it? I think he established it, right?
So the Church of Corinth, yes, I believe.
Second.
Maybe the second?
Yeah.
John Mark forsook them on which journey? First journey. John Mark went back home to Mama and to home... to his own family. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Pastor Dan.
There's also Sosthenes mentioned in the book of Acts.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if it's the same one. But
probably is.
18.
Probably is. Sosthenes.
No.
His name is in the book.
Yeah, that's Acts 13 or 18, 17.
1817,
yeah.
I think it was...
Chief ruler.
Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of these things.
Is that in Corinth? That context?
Acts 18:17.
Yeah,
it's in Corinth.
It is
in Corinth. So
that's
Sosthenes.
It says
in verse 1.
Yes. 18 and verse 17. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the third missionary journey in chapter 18, which is interesting because Sosthenes at that time was still the chief ruler of the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't have been saved yet.
Maybe not, that's right. But maybe after he's writing this, maybe he got saved.
They beat him.
They beat him and really knocked him apart.
I mean, why would they beat him?
If he was not the Jews, if he was a Jew, they would have beat him.
He was the chief ruler of the synagogue.
Yeah.
And so he must have accepted some...
Maybe accepted the order.
No, not based on the context here.
Why were they beating him?
Because there was an insurrection against Paul, and then they took it out on...
Sosthenes,
I think.
Interesting.
The Greeks did.
If that be true, it's interesting that he mentions Sosthenes, our brother. So somewhere, sometime...
I mean, unless it's a different Sosthenes.
Well, probably unlikely.
It seems like it's the same one.
Same one. Probably later on, somewhere, he became a brother in Christ and saved. That's right.
Maybe after he got beat.
Maybe. Maybe that beat all the bad views out of him. Church of God. Now, notice in verse number 2. There's an assembly of God and a church of God, even today, the denominations. Is that what this means?
No.
No. What does it mean, the church of God, do you think?
It means the entire people.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't have anything to say.
Well, the hand was raised.
I forgot.
Okay, well, when it comes to mind, let us know. Pastor Dan.
The church belongs to God.
Right.
It's his.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
can the Presbyterian churches be churches of God?
Some of them.
Some of them, if they're saved and power. Can congregational churches be churches of God? Well, can they be?
Some of them.
Well, be, some of the not people within them.
Yeah, yeah, very few that the whole church is. Well, can Baptists be a church of God?
Some of them too,
yeah. So some of them. Well, that right. This thing rang, but I think it's just a. So Brian Swope again. All right, Brian.
Brian.
Please do not Baptist play. They're probably, Ryan, do the map displays. They help so much to see where things are.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate
that.
That was Ryan.
It
was sent from Ryan to Troll.
Text message.
Oh, your phone is reading a text message.
It's a text message. See, so I just read the text.
Oh, the, so you said the maps were helpful?
Helpful.
I was confused by the woman's voice.
Yeah. Maps were, but he left a message, text message. Let me see if I can bring him again here.
Don't we have another map
that brings us closer? Hi, Ryan, so you like the maps, huh?
Yes, I do.
Very good. Well, Mike, thank you for calling again and giving a message. Let's wave to Ryan Swope over there. Huh? We're still praying for you. Glad you're better.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Good to hear from you.
Okay.
I want to ask him a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, maybe he'll call again.
I wonder how he got
sick. So the Church of God, those that are genuinely saved, now, what's the difference between the local churches and the universal church? What's the difference? Local churches and universal, what's your name?
The universal church is, for lack of another name for it, is the all believers of all faiths of all times.
Mm-hmm. Genuine Christians of all times, the church. This is the body of Christ, yes. That's right, honey. And so this probably refers to the Church of God. In other words, the true believers, the true Christians that are there at Corinth, the true Christians elsewhere. But the Church of God, in other words, the body of Christ, yes.
I mean, in the actual verse, it says the Church of God, which is at Corinth. So
yes.
That doesn't eliminate anyone.
That's right.
It just says those specifically that are in the Church of God, that are also in Corinth.
That's right.
He's identifying.
Now, talking about the body of Christ, how we define the body of Christ?
Well, it's two things.
Huh?
It's two things. It's a literal body.
All right.
That died and was buried.
Yes.
And then it's the church is pictured as the body of Christ.
Oh, churches, modernists, and everybody?
No, I need the real church.
Which would it be defined as what? The 10?
Oh, born again Christians.
Born again Christians?
At all times.
Of all times. Now, are some Bible view Christians that differ with us on that definition of the body of Christ? What do they teach about body of Christ?
Their own.
Yes, Pat?
Their own church.
That's right. It's got to be just what they believe. And what are some of the names of these churches?
I don't know.
That hold that view. Bill?
There was a Baptist church up in New England that you talked about.
That's right, Connecticut, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he claims that his church and his own type of church is the body of church, and we are just fellows in that.
That's right.
But what we really need to do is get away from all this denominationalism and stay with the Bible.
Yes.
It's all these humanistic rules and procedures and things that are made up in some churches that have driven them away from the Bible.
Yes. The Pastor Dan.
Landmark Baptist.
Landmark Baptist. That's right. That's one. Yes. Tammy.
Dr. Thomas Strauss.
Dr. Thomas Strauss. He's the originator of that. He's got the whole commentary, the whole Bible.
Sure. Yes. He's not the originator. We got it from Wisconsin, from
the school that I used to teach with, the Maranatha Baptist College. There,
I'm not sure where they got it.
Yeah, they taught that, and he learned it from that. He's one of the teachers there.
Wisconsin.
I want
to go to
Well, the president of that, what was his name? Dr. Original
Cedarholm?
Cedarholm. Dr. Cedarholm was the president of it, and he's the one that pushed that with all of his faculty.
So he taught it.
He taught it, that's right. And he came to Dallas Seminary one time, and he talked to us on 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ had different arms and eyes, different things, members of one body. He applied that to the local church. I wondered why I questioned it, because we're taught in Dallas in the scripture that all those that are genuinely saved are in the body of Christ. And so this is a picture, but he limited it, so that was bad. See, one of our friends, it's in the Hollywoods, they're in the Dean Berger Society, Dave and Hollywood and his family, they hold to that because they were trained in that school. And one that used to be a member of the Dean Berger Society, Dave Hollywood's father, Dr. James, is James Hollywood? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. James Hollywood, I believe that too. They were trained that, and they're just, but all the believers, saved people, born again, are in the body of Christ. No matter what denomination or church they go to or into, but they're in there. So, the Church of God, which is at Corinth, as Tammy said, it's just a representative. It's one of the places where those genuine Christians are there, saved and born again. Questions at bftpc.org, or 856-261-9018. Haven't heard Barbara, you want to call, give us a call, 856-261-9018. And I don't hear any calls. Maybe the thing isn't working. But
is that what she had said?
She can't hear us.
Should I push the button?
But we have to call her.
Oh, well, should I push the button? So she can't. How can she hear us through the phone? Any way we can do that?
She has to phone us.
Oh, and then we
can. Phone us the landline.
Then it'll be live. It'll be live. The rest
and
of the service.
Once it rings, then she can hear us.
And then the rest of the service, she can hear us.
Yes, right. But she hasn't called yet. So
oh.
If someone wants to call Barbara, let her know to call us, because we have the phone hooked up. Because originally you told her.
I told her the phone's hooked up. Told her I couldn't do it. Then I called her back and said, we can do it. Bill put it up, and Pastor Dan rigged it up. So,
was she filling up to it?
Well, I think she said I'd run the call. Yes, at first I said no, because it's back at Bill's desk, but now we changed it, put it up here.
Okay.
I noticed these people in the Church of God, what is true of them in verse number 2? What's the first thing we see about these people? Pastor Dan?
They're sanctified.
All right, what does that mean, sanctified? If I?
Set apart.
Set apart. How many tenses of sanctification are there? Yes, three, as Tammy said, with the three fingers. What are they?
Past
presence. What is true of the sanctification in the past? What do you call that? Set apart.
The penalty
of sin. What about sanctification in the present?
The power of sin.
Set apart from the power of sin. And for the future?
Presence
and set apart. So three tenses are sanctified.
Again, please.
They're sanctified in the past from the penalty of sin, present, power of sin, third, future, presence of sin.
Yeah, I used to know that.
Penalty, power, presence. Ten?
No,
so they move those hands. All right, so the power sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified in Christ Jesus? Is there any other way to be sanctified scripturally? What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Vaughn?
Born again.
Born again. Genuinely saved. True Christian. Accepting Him as our Savior. Tim?
All that are saved are in Christ.
All that are saved are in Christ. It's a wonderful position to be in Christ Jesus. Then, what's the next thing about these people that are sanctified in Christ? Pastor Dan.
They're saints.
They're saints. Called to be saints. Now, what denomination likes to use that term in a different way?
You want to use the, call them holy ones. Forget the saints. They're holy ones.
They're holy ones. But what people like to use that very word?
The Roman Catholic.
The Roman Catholic Church. Saints. Now, scripturally, everyone is a those of holy ones of the born again are saints. Yes.
But the Roman Catholics don't think anyone's a saint until they're dead.
That's right. Got to be dead. But what does the Bible teach?
When you're born again.
The Holy One that sees and trusts Christ
as Savior. The Holy One and the Saint sanctified. See, Saint means set apart, sanctified. That's part of the word, isn't it? Sanctified, set apart, and saints of God. The Scriptures are very clear because it calls these people saints. Now, of course, they're dead now. All these people Paul wrote to are dead. And Paul himself is dead, but that's a difference. That's where while he was writing,
when he wrote to them, they were living. They were living holy ones.
Living holy ones were saints. Now, and also it says, with all of them, where else are also sanctified, also part of the church of God?
In
town?
In every place.
Every place.
All over the world.
That call upon the name of the Lord Jesus.
At the time, the known world was smaller.
It's just smaller. But those that call on the name of the Lord Jesus, both theirs and ours. He's their Lord and he's our Lord. So it's not restricted here to the church at Corinth that are sanctified, separated, and called saints. All those that are genuine Christians. All right, then the greeting in verse 3. What two parts of the greeting are there? What two parts of the greeting are there? Yvonne?
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. And grace means what?
God's riches
and
grace.
God's riches and grace. One definition?
Well, I just put that one up on the internet, but I can't quote it.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly getting something we don't deserve. That's a little short definition. And what is the other one? Peace. What would that mean?
Peace. A tranquil state of a soul.
That's good.
Not that much.
That's good.
That trust in Christ.
And fearing no evil, and therefore...
And content with
uncertain life. With life, whatsoever state it is.
Yes,
something like that. Okay, we'll bring it up together. When I preach on it, when I come to it, we'll bring it again. So, grace and peace. These Christians, genuine Christians, received the grace of God, and they were at peace with God. And Romans 5:1 says what? Therefore, it's justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the difference between the peace of God and peace with God? This is peace with God, Romans 5:1. What is peace? The peace of God? Remember Philippians? Peace of God be with you. Yes, Tammy?
Peace of God is the fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit, that's right.
And it comes after salvation.
Yes.
Peace with God comes at the time of salvation.
At the time of salvation. Peace of God, in other words, living for the Lord, and he works out, Holy Spirit controls the life, gives peace with him. Now, what persons of the Godhead are the source of grace and the source of peace? What two persons of the Godhead are the source of grace and peace? After that?
God, our Father.
All right.
There's one other person of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people, do all the people in this world and in this country and all around the world think that there's an identity or an equality between these two persons of the Godhead, Father and Son? Do they all agree there's an identity or part? What do they say concerning the Father versus the Son? What do some of them teach about the Son, the Lord Jesus?
I don't know what you're talking about. It's just a man.
Just a man, just a human being like the Gnostics.
Inferior to God the Father, maybe he's an angel.
That's right. And there's another heretical theory about the Lord Jesus Christ. Bill?
Yeah, some people believe that Jesus Christ didn't become part of the Trinity until he was baptized.
Yes, that's right. And that's, I think, the Gnostic position.
Yeah.
Christ is the part of the deity. And he came upon him only at his baptism. When did he leave him? When did the Christ leave him? At the cross. The Christ principle left him. There's another group of people that say in the Lord Jesus Christ, how many persons of the Godhead exist according to this heresy? Pastor Dan.
Sammy,
go ahead, Tammy.
Seven.
What? How many persons of the Godhead? One? Just one?
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
Some people teach that in Christ, how many people of the Godhead are in that, just in Christ? She says one.
Well,
what others?
It's a oneness.
It's a oneness. Meaning what?
Meaning that Jesus is the Father and he's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's good. He's all three persons, right?
But do they still believe in the Trinity? If they
don't, I don't know how they can do that, see? If there's some Christian believers that hold to that false theology that in Christ he's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pardon? Must not believe in the Trinity if he's the three, but only one person.
Talk about it, but they
Because the Trinity is three persons in one God. They have three gods in one person. See, in other words, it's different. Yeah, Bill.
Dr. Schaefer put it very well. He said, for in the plan of salvation, God the Father is the source, Christ, the channel, and the Spirit the agent.
You're good. Hello. Global Power Networks. I'm sorry about that.
What is that?
Global
could
Power
you,
Networks.
Could you repeat that, Bill? That was very
what is it, Bill?
Okay. I got to find it again in here.
You lost it.
Okay, I got it. This is what Dr. Schaefer had said. He said, for in the plan of salvation, God the Father is the source, Christ the channel, and the Spirit the agent.
Very good. The duties of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of others teach also that the Son was inferior to the Father. Is that true or false?
Yes.
No. Why did they say that? What makes them teach that, do you think? Tammy and then Bill.
Because he's positionally the Son as opposed to the Father.
Right. Is this, you know what, that's part of it, Bill?
It's taken me a long time and I'm still working on it, but there's a human side of me that keeps wanting to jump to conclusions and keeps wanting to make decisions about things, and that's not the right way to do it.
Yeah, it's not the right way to do it. Yes, the what was my question again?
I like the answer to the question.
What's the view of the Trinity?
Yes.
The Trinity.
Oh, yes.
That was the original question.
Pastor Dan, first before we go to
the message here from the main pastor, sending our warmest greetings to you and all of the BFP church family there in Collinswood and to those watching by internet. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. I also want to thank Mrs. Wade for her lovely birthday card she sent. It was a blessing to my heart. God bless you all. It is love. Carl and Vicki.
Well, if you're Albert from Maine, let's wave to Carl and Vicki Albert over the state of Maine. Let's get them out of there, Bill. Waving Carl and Vicki Albert. Okay, thank you very much, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that very much. Now, it seems, who sent the Lord Jesus to this earth? God the Father. The Lord Jesus was obedient to God the Father. When he left heaven as perfect God, did he leave any of his attributes behind? Did he drop off any? No, he still contained all those attributes. But he took on another form, that is, perfect humanity, perfect Son of Man, a perfect Son of God. Now, was the Lord Jesus obedient to the Father who sent him?
Absolutely.
He was. Now, does that mean inferiority?
No.
No. Normally, when somebody sends somebody else, the one that's sent is the one that's inferior to the one that sends him. Not so here. He's absolutely all, it's obedient, it's a chain of command, it's a ministry that God, just like the Holy Spirit. He's not inferior to the Father, inferior to the Son. They're equality and superior. All of them are superior and no inferiority. But the status thing, just like, for instance, when the Scripture says, wives, be obedient to your own husbands. Does that mean the wife who's obedient is inferior to the husband? No, not inferiority. It's just God's order of things. And that's the order of things with Father and Son. The order of things was the Father would send the Son, send him to be obedient. Not my will, but thine be done. So a lot of people are confused about that as well. All right, so...
I'd like to say something.
Oh, yeah, fine. Go ahead.
I want to say something to Vicki.
Yeah, Vicki, go ahead.
I just want to tell you how much I enjoy the calendar you send. And I purposely do not turn the page. I can't wait to see what the next picture is going to be like. And this calendar seems to have a series going on about the old house and the yard and things like that. I just enjoy the calendar so much.
Did you hear that, Vicki? Vicki and Carl?
Yeah, the calendar that's in the little hall there before the bathroom,
yes.
Before the kitchen.
My wife loves that calendar you sent. Thank you very much. Very much. Very much enjoyable calendar. Lots of good pictures and memories. All right, so from the Father, from the Son. Now let's read verse 4, 5, and 6, then we'll close. Let's read those three verses. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. That in everything ye are enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. I'll pick that up, Lord willing, next Thursday. But do you have any other comments or questions on these verses we've covered?
Well,
lots of different things we touched on in these verses. If not, let's close the word of prayer. We thank thee, Father, for the Apostle Paul was called by thee to take the place of the one that was not called by thee, Judas Iscariot. He was called, the Lord chose him, we believe, because he wanted to show us what real hypocrisy looked like and how Satan can work in a very clever way to impersonate genuine Christians, so we would be aware and on our guard. So, Lord, we thank thee that Paul the Apostle was willing to be obedient to that call, taking the place of Matthias. He was a bad one, wasn't really the call, taking the place of Judas rather than Matthias. So guide us and direct us. We thank thee for this book of 1 Corinthians. We ask thee, Lord, to help us to understand it and to live by it as we proceed verse by verse. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.